Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around the corner,
second. The whistle is gone. And Sligo Rovers are the champions.
By the river
side. Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for us.
Gary Dyson and driving out over the fence. Out in there, he's a Cotton.
Hello, welcome to Sligo Way Sports Podcast. Adrian Partland here with, again, Ross and Ronan for yet another show, season 3, episode 7. How are we, lads?
All good, Adam.
Yep.
We're going to have a slight change to our usual running order this week. I suppose we have to start. We will start with the news. I think the Rock thing, Sligo All Sport, and just anyone outside of sport last Friday evening, the death of Red Oak Murphy. Young man who passed away last Friday, and I think the shockwaves are still going around, you know. When news broke last Friday, there's been hardly anything on the mind since. Really don't know what to say. So I just want to send our deepest sympathies to the family and all in Curry GAA Club. Red Oak was obviously a star, but he was there. To them, he was family. So to us, he was, I think we, in Gaelic words, the place we all thought we kind of knew him and had a part of him, but only met him once myself. But yeah, it was just, he was such a talented young man, and he was just in the limelight that we all thought he was a piece of ours. But so we can only imagine the heartbreak they're feeling at the minute. The name set him apart as a young age. It was a great old
year. Yeah,
Red Oak.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's so sad, really, what happened. It did. I think we actually mentioned on the show when we first talked about him. It is that the name actually just stood out from the start, you know. But yeah, I just haven't seen a few videos and stuff, and over the last few days, you know, he was obviously exceptionally talented on a football pitch, but just from the tributes you see from his friends and his clubmates, and he just seemed like a really nice young fella. It's just really, really sad, you know.
Yeah, look, we won't say too much more about it. Rest in peace, Red Oak, and deepest sympathies to everyone out in Curry, and especially your family. R.I.P. Okay, we're going to go into GAA first, so lads, on that, and back to the fields of action this weekend, actually, for most of the clubs around the county at senior adult level of football. Pens after bursting in my hand, as you can see there.
That's a battle. Lineup got the fingerprints done there,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, yeah. But on the county scene, the Hurlers were in action. They were in the Allianz League Division 2B final up in Edernie, County Fermanagh. Fine ground up there too, by all accounts. They're playing Derry. Our young man in the field was there again, Ronan Rossi, Freddie Turbine.
Yeah, Freddie made the trip up. I suppose I'll read out what Freddie said.
He sent us a brief report.
A brief report again, yeah.
Thank you, Freddie.
So Freddie was saying that the team went into the game full of confidence after a great win over Donegal. He must make connections there already if he knows the inside scoop that they're full of confidence. So the game started badly with Derry scoring a goal after 2 minutes. But the Sligo lads kept pace in the first half with Derry, and magnificent run and a goal from wing-back Niall Fairley brought Sligo to within a point at half-time. Derry did shoot a lot of wides in the first half, according to Freddie, And they started the second half as well with their full forward, Oran McKeever, causing Sligo a lot of trouble. Derry kept the scoreboard ticking over with Sligo trying their best to keep in touch. A Joe McHugh goal in the second half got Sligo right back into it. But Derry didn't seem fazed by this and got some fantastic scores from distance. Sligo were awarded a penalty late in the game with Gerard O'Kelly then scoring a point from it. So Derry in the end won by 5 points, and they take the promotion place to Division 2A. But I suppose, you know, Sligo having come up the leagues in the last couple of years, it's a very young squad. You know, they're in great hands there with Pádraig Mannion, Donald Tully and Fergal Flannery in charge. So they've no break from no rest for the wicked.
Championship action's on this
championship
Saturday.
Championship action, Christy Ring this Saturday. So
they're going to this in disguise as well. They're in London, I think, aren't they? I know they are, to play London in McGovern Park and Rice Up at 2 o'clock.
At 2 o'clock on Friday, yeah. So that game's in Rice Up on Saturday. So, yeah, best wishes to the team. First Sligo team in championship action, I suppose.
No rest for the wicked. I'm going to say, yeah, I know they were defeated on Saturday, but they'll go in full of confidence, I think, for the Christy Ring campaign.
Yeah,
and they already played London. That was in Beacon, I think. It was back. They did play them in the league, but it was a feisty battle, I believe. There was a few red cards thrown out for both sides.
Okay, yeah, I think Freddie missed that one, didn't he?
Turbine wasn't at that. Yeah. No, Young Turbine, sorry. And I know I was at it myself. It was a good bit of scalping going on. So
right, yeah. There'll be no loss between them. So
May Sharp and the Hurleys going over to London next Saturday. So yeah, championship action is back. For Sligo next Saturday, it comes around quick with this new split. Well,
this new season, right? It's coming around quick for everything, I suppose.
Yeah.
Like, it's only 2 weeks until Sligo were out.
Yeah, and there was just sticking in the hurdle. I think there was a bit of disappointment around the county that the 20s didn't field against Derry in the Richie McElliott Cup there. They were supposed to play Derry in the quarterfinal on Saturday, but for one reason or another, had to concede the game. So their campaign actually didn't start, and it's over. So disappointment there. I know, with all the good work going on, it's a pity they couldn't play that fixture. So, look, I might just run through a bit of the results that went on in the adult competitions that kicked off at the weekend. I know the South Division fixtures involving teams in the South Division were called off as a mark of respect for Red Oak, and also there was minute silence held at every ground around the county.
We had a minute silence at our grounds as well.
Yeah, and stand there for a minute silence, but then once the whistle goes, we had the joy of playing a game or being involved in a game. Like it's very tough, but yeah, look, he's not going to be forgotten, I don't think, too lightly. So I think they're all marked very well by the clubs around the county. So just start with the junior. So this is for team club second teams. They're in the spring league as well. So they've split the divisions up into North East, they're in one division, and South West as well. What's the other directions? So I'll just run through a few results there. In the North East Junior Spring League Division, Round 1, Shamrock Gales 3-14, St Mary's 13 points. And also in the North East Division Junior Spring League Round 1, Jeannie Mac, my tongue is getting to big for my mouth. Ballymote Round Towers 1-6, Clara Strand Hill 7-17.
There was a man in this podcast group might have made a return to the fields, did he?
Made a return
to
the field.
The boots are back on.
Did you score?
1-3. Now,
he was bragging also.
No, I wasn't bragging. I was fucking mute. I was used to it. Terrible. But but I seen a picture off your man. Is it Fernic Puskas there? Google it there.
Puskas.
When he's about 50 playing. Google the photo. I might put it up later. That's what I felt like, and I'd say it looked like on the pitch.
You got the job done, though.
No,
rattled the onion bag, rattled, spliced.
Scored. The goal was from 2 yards out. I walked in. But yeah, it was good. It was very enjoyable, and good to see old TJ Keaveney reffing again. I thought me and his days were over on the same pitch. Right, sorry, doing the results. So, starting to the seniors, so they were all split up, of course, into North, South. Did you see the photo, no? North, South, East, West.
This one?
And no, there's a photo of them with a big, massive beer belly. I'll find it. Start with the West. These games were played on Saturday. So, St. Pat's 2-13, St. Fernan's 2-8, Eastgate 1-12, Enniscrone last 4-14. So, a good start for Pat's there against Fernan's, who were the... that was a battle of the junior champions versus intermediate champions last year, actually. Pats by 5 points. EC 1-12 and it's grown 4-14.
There's a better one of colour. This one.
This one.
That's how I felt like on the pitch.
If you want to, look up on Google, it's down as fat belly photos.
We use it as a photo for the pod, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the episode.
Distracted me. That was Saturday on the West Division. So, moving to Sunday and the North Division, round one of the Spring League. St Mary's 10 points, St Mellage 2-12, Colliery St Joseph's 1-5, Clare Stranhill 4-12. Drumcliffe 2-17, St John's 1-7. So wins there for Gray, for Mellage, Calera, and Drumcliffe. I always call Mellage Grange. I just have it. East Division, Ballymote Round Towers 2-6, Eastern Hearts 15 points, 3-point win there for Harps. Giva 2-5, Omergales 5 points, 6-point win for Giva, and St Michael's 1-9. Shamrock Gales 4-9. Like, looking at the St Michael's Shamrock Gales game, it's interesting enough. Like, it's a junior team, junior championship versus senior championship. So they're just, it's interesting, you know, this competition now. Could be a few lopsided matches, maybe, but.
Yeah. I've been behind this competition from the start.
Yeah,
now,
we'll see what goes.
Even
possibly a bit too long.
Who are Omergales then?
They play Giva 2-5-5. They're both intermediate championship. Omergales are junior championship, sorry. But they're both Division 2 leagues, so they'll probably play each other in leagues. So
okay, right.
I was only thinking of today, like, we've the Clara, we played Colliery yesterday. I've played Mary's, Mellage, Drumcliffe, and John's yet.
It's a lot of
in
games.
A warmer condition, like, it's 5 games. And then whoever the top two are, they'll have another game as well.
And then the league starts pretty much straight away, does it?
They're all going to overlap. So the league, first round of the league is the first weekend in May, and then it goes into another round of Spring League. And then it's league again. I think the reason for that is so county players will be available for the first game of the league.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But then they will be going into either the Connacht final or Tailteann Cup, so they'll be tied up for a while. The results are a bit haphazardly read out. We've been distracted by a few things in the meantime.
Puskas, yeah.
Might just go to the fixtures in the adult games coming up at the weekend. Hopefully they're in order here for us. I've got them on the new sponsor iPads.
It's very professional, actually.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Yep, in the North Division Spring League, it's Clara versus Mary's. That's at 6 o'clock on Saturday. John's are at home to St Mellage and Colliery at home to Drumcliffe. East Division, these are all Saturday now. Eastern Harps play Shamrock Gales. Omer Gales play St Michael's. They're the senior ones. Then we go to on Saturday in the Junior Spring League. So it's the South West Division. Pats play Fernans and Curry will play Tour Lestran. Going to Sunday, and this is back to the senior. In the West, Castle Connor, their first outing of the year against Eastkey. Enniscrone play St Pat's, also in the West. And Clunacool, who have been blown over to the West, playing St Fernan's. They're playing in the West Division there on Sunday. Should be quite a good game in the senior. Curry versus Killarney Mullinabrina, this in the South. Bunanadan versus Tour Lestran. And in the East of the senior, Ballymote play Giva. And then there's a few North East Division junior games we played on Sunday afternoon. Eastern Hearts versus St Mary's and Coolara versus Shamrock Gales. I don't know what Puskas are playing that one now, to be honest. briefly, a few more bits that were going on the pitch. I was in Bacon today. Bacon. Centre of Excellence. Summerhill College junior teams were in the A-semi final. I know they're playing Clare Galway, very highly rated. Summerhill, it ended 5-10 to 3-11 at sixth time. I'm queering a few scores. I had 5-9 to 3-11, but defeat anyways for Summerhill after extra time. Probably just maybe left it behind them a bit in normal time, and then the first score of the extra time was a goal for Clare Galway, and you're always chasing then a wee bit. So very good team though, backbone by a good few players who were still minor last year. Who won Connacht minor last year and are still minor this year. So I think it's under 17 and a half, that competition.
That's junior now, isn't it?
Junior, yeah. Because seniors, that was 18 and a half. It's the one
we won,
yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it's exactly under 17.
I was a leaving cert when I was on that team. But I was a young leaving cert.
Yeah, you're only 60. Maybe the ages are still the same. Because I was just thinking how the lads, like Ronan Ireland and O'Hare and a young O'Kelly Lynch, sorry, I can't think of his first name, that's bad. They were all on the county minor panel last year. So, and they're on it again this year when Connacht. But they probably could have won it in the end. It's a nice breeze up there, but that goal, I think, at the start of extra time just gave Clare Galway. It's the same final. Very good team, so there's definitely loads to work on there for the senior team for next year. Like, a lot of them lads were playing senior anyways this year. So hard luck to Summerhill. I was up that there. I was working in Beacon.
What else? Yeah, Mara Sheridan was involved.
I think, yeah. I think
he left the fucking pitch. Such a prance on him.
Is there no, like, boxes and...
No, like, no? I know, I don't... Ross O'Carroll was in charge of Summerhill. I actually don't know who was with him because he wore the fair side, so there was two with Summerhill, but Tregaller had men all over the pitch, dotted and on the pitch, and they were all over the place. Yeah, I was kind of annoyed.
It's gone as far as school's football, has it?
Yeah, big time. Just wouldn't get off the pitch. Mentioned to Jesus and Mary Secondary School Enniscrone as well. They were in the Juvenile D quarter final today. They bet Charlestown 6-11-1-2 in Ballina. Always good to beat them, your team. Good lads, Enniscrone. Finally, a few underage scores from the weekend. The Miners were actually playing in the Ulster Minor League, round 5. They were beaten by Donegal 12-1-4. That's about it on the GA scene of what happened on the pitch. Thanks to Freddie Turbine again for the in-depth bit on the hurling. Hopefully he's travelling over to...
Is he travelling? Yeah, Freddie travelling. Yeah, he got
so his... We should have a good wrap-up with that. That's on Saturday. There's a lot of stuff.
Well, we paid for that seat, didn't we?
Did you pay? You got the Flightbuster 3-hour flight with Ryan, was it? Quite a bit on with underage teams and that, actually, on Saturday in terms of county football. The under-16s are out for the first game of the year. David O'Neill's under-16s, they're in Longford to play. Longford. The Celtic Challenge Hurlers are in Mayo on Saturday as well. And I'm with the County Under-15 Development Squad. We're going to Armagh for the Dermot Early Michael Galavy's Cup Round 1. Nice trip on a Saturday morning.
What time's that going at?
12. Surely you should regionalise these competitions, for God's sake.
12 in Armagh. Jesus Christ.
But again, anyway, so there's lots going on with the underage. They're in full swing now, and the midweek, of course, all the clubs are back, so good to see it. And that's the GAA wrapped up. We're going to come back with...
nonsense.
Yeah, a bit of nonsense, I suppose, our usual nonsense. A bit of chat about our live show, a few questions in, and a very quick rapid-fire Sligo or not Sligo.
Good stuff.
Okay, back lads. Our episode, of course, was 2 weeks, obviously, since we've been here. First of all, Roland, you come in here in a foul mood today. You had something, I know I come in a few weeks ago with stuff that grinds my gears.
Yeah.
Let it out. What happened?
Well, I was walking home last night after a couple of pints. We went out after our last league game of the season for Catron yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Went home at the reasonable hour of 11:15-12, yeah. Thinking, you know.
The witchy hour.
Yeah, it's a grand time to go home. My walk from Tom Early's to my apartment in John Street, not one takeaway open. I had to resort to ringing.
Can I just
takeaways.
Say, not to give your address out here, because you could have some like serial cat, serial female, serial killer fans.
Who
like,
yeah.
And I wouldn't doubt you do.
That hasn't come up. That hasn't come up yet. That issue. Anyway, this is my
jar rant. Of your tears.
How in a town of Sligo size, like. I do be sometimes thinking when I go out for pints, my first pint, what I'm going to have when I go home.
The food, the collection, and that's...
And it was, how in a town in size of Sligo, 11:15 on a Sunday night, can there not
I don't think there was, no, there was surely somewhere open.
Name somewhere. We ended up
Peter, surely, but
we were that strung out, we ended up ringing places. Just, it was a wet night.
Or junkies or something.
Yeah, yeah. It was a wet night, so I didn't want to be walking anywhere.
You a couple of cheeseburgers and take it, that's it.
I didn't want to be walking anywhere out of the way. It was a
Sam's Sam's.
Sam's Sam's. Rang Sam's Sam's, closed.
Did you look at Roberto's?
Looked at Roberto's is like...
The Happy Eater, surely, open.
Rang the Happy Eater, no answer.
Jesus. Now, I have serious issues with the four lights. I'm not going to bring it up to close at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
That's another story completely.
But I think we're going to have to get on to our politician friends.
Yeah. Well,
like, it's an absolute...
Gino,
like,
or McAtee.
We'll be sitting down with two influential ones in a couple of weeks.
And now they're talking about keeping nightclubs open at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, that's...
You'd be over for the breakfast now then, is the only thing I'd say.
As we're saying, yes. The places, the rooftop would have had a boom.
Yeah.
The boom.
It's gone, yeah.
But like, I always maintain that if you set up a van outside back in the old days when there was four nightclubs, if you set up a van there in the ESP corner selling pizza slices,
Jesus, yeah.
A fiver a pop, you'd make an absolute fortune. But anyway, that's my rant, is that I still can't get over. I'd go home and make a sandwich.
Be some crack now if it's 6 a.m. If the 6 a.m. Rule does come in.
I don't think it's going to be a Sligo show.
But you imagine all the people going for the fancy breakfast on a Sunday morning, yeah. And then the couple of gowls, Lou and couple
glass
of...
Glasshouse at 6 on Sunday morning.
Pale as a ghost eating an old Chinese sausage. Like.
It won't happen in Sligo, will it though? There's not the drinking... culture's the wrong word. Not the clientele. to stay till six.
No, probably not. No, but maybe it's about 10 years too late for here.
Certain
it?
Nights,
yeah,
you get it.
Like,
I'm glad I'm past the time.
Yeah, no, I never. 6 o'clock would have been great. 10,
Jesus
15 years
Christ,
ago.
Imagine if fucking the messing was bad enough. Imagine being on toss for 7 hours.
What? Yeah.
And what would you get up to?
There's a club in Dublin that's open up. It's aiming at our sort of age bracket, I'd say. Oh. So they're opening up at 6 to close at 12. But giving you the nightclub experience.
Right. I'm not a big fan of nightclubs, anyways.
No,
I enjoyed the mess. And I was also a smoking room man who never smoked. Like,
yes, yeah, yeah.
The one in Envy there was a great spot for a few chances to make up. Yeah. I think it's where the dodgy ticker one was established.
A few good dicey stories.
If you were going to say dicey, you'd miss just sitting there and then you see a 20 euro note coming down from the ceiling.
Coming down from the thing. Yeah, sure that. No.
So
Dykesy was barred from Envy, obviously, and most pissed. But he used to hop the back wall. I remember when they'd done off the smoking room, there was a grill on the roof.
Yeah.
So he used to go on the roof and hide there, and you'd see, like, there wasn't fucking me 20 euro notes handed down now, Ross.
Yeah, it was a fiver.
For a drink.
Yeah, for a drink. Hey,
get us a reeb.
Chief, give me a few reebs. Beer backwards. A few reebs. Fucking Hollywood Frank. He thinks he's CIA. This book was sitting on the roof and the pint's been handed up to him.
Yeah, like fucking Sting in the rafters. Dykesy on the grid.
But it's what, I don't know, like... Nightclub. Well, there was five nightclubs in Otago.
I say that now, no 6 o'clock. But sure, after Toss, we used to fucking be up in the air till what time?
True enough, yeah.
And you'd have 50 people up there. So maybe if you had a good cohort of knock at 10 days
bath.
Are gone.
Get a nice bath at 5 a.m.
in the Arc.
Room 103.
I'd love to have seen the guest book there on any given Monday morning, Sunday morning.
How to back all in that place too. Anyway, speaking of nightclubs and tops, Ross, the live show, and Ron, the live show, of course, is happening on the 22nd of April, Friday the 22nd of April. We'll get promoting it a bit more now. Just got this weekend out of the way and we're all good to go. And the show, because it's our last show before it.
Yes, it is, yeah. So,
a few more tickets on sale, I believe. We've done a deal to extend the capacity, so that's good news.
We're going to put the link up there, so another limited capacity, another 50 available.
We'll great stuff.
Spread the word.
Sold out the last time, so that's good.
Hopefully everybody can make it. That was scheduled.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully 3 weeks is enough notice. I know we were a while waiting on it just to get the dates right, but... Yeah,
I give a quick rundown of the evening.
What's going on? Yeah, let you go for it there.
Doors open at 6:30. Music will be playing. Bar will be open, so we'll be getting up on the stage or say ourselves at 7:30. And then I believe we're just going to... Pretty much it'll be a similar setup to the podcast itself. That we will just do a bit of an intro, a bit of a chat, and then into the... we'll get the rugby section up with Paddy and Frankie, and then we've a karaoke contest which we're going to blend into the night as well. So still need a couple of people to put the hand up for
that.
Else we'll be pulling people up.
I think I have one anyways. You've one or two, do you? Yeah.
I had one that wanted to do a dance off, but we can maybe incorporate. Yeah.
How do you judge a dance off?
Yeah. Well, then we'll do the with all of our guests.
How do you judge karaoke?
With all of our guests, we'll do a quick fire Sligo or not Sligo.
Yeah, there'll be a bit of Sligo or not Sligo as well.
With the guests, and then we'll see who the best is at the very end of the night.
Best,
as well.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I didn't know about this. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Good
so the two lads, McSharry and Gino, will face off. O'Mara and Ref, who's not from Sligo, and the boys, everyone will face off in a Sligo or not Sligo battle, and we'll see who comes out on top.
That's a great shout.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
So I'll have to get some good ones done. You can all take off this time.
Yeah, we'll send us in some suggestions.
People can suggest on the night.
Or even people in the... We know we have a few neighbouring counties listeners. Like, if you want to send us in some names there.
Well, I know Sean McGooey sent in a good few from Longford that time. So it was a great help.
Yeah. Sure, of course, our Mayo reach is huge now since we collaborated with Young Ref.
Yeah, and I seen Enda McGeary was again high up in Crow Park yesterday.
He was, yeah. Your man from Kerry had a nice photo.
Tim Moynihan, yeah. It's a great photo. Cult following down here. But so we hopefully we'll put up a tweet tonight, and hopefully more tickets will go on sale tomorrow. Just to do a bit of jig pokery with that website. Get it going again. And
that's it now. The countdown is officially on.
Countdown's on. It's happening. Even if we get cold, we'll go this time. I'm joking. Don't say I'm not joking. I'm looking forward to it now, very much so. 22nd of April. I had something to say about it there, and I fucking forgot. Oh, it's out of my tongue. Oh, sorry.
Takeaways, no?
Huh?
Takeaways?
Sorry. So I have a very quick fire, Sligo or not Sligo, tonight, but there's question marks over the result.
Well, I won by 3, I think, the last night.
Oh, right, did you? Okay, well, that doesn't matter.
You won by 3, did you?
I won easy, yeah. Your question,
was one. But like, no, no, wasn't. What was one the last time? No, okay, so I'll put it out there, and people
was
can
last week's. Sorry, just that was last week's or 2 weeks ago. The one with Pablo's beauty salon and.
With one, the
was the question I got caught on was the River Duff.
I have a draw.
Yeah, it was a draw, and you held on to it.
Okay, hold on now. You've got no leg to stand on here.
No, no, no. Listen,
here I'm going to sit back here. Yeah,
the game is Sligo, not Sligo. Okay.
Yeah.
The River Duff.
River Duff, yeah.
Which flows through Sligo, Donegal, and Leitrim. Okay. I said it wasn't in Sligo.
It's not.
So which was
which is true.
But it was also in Sligo. So I said both answers were correct. So therefore my question was correct.
No chance. If part of it is in Sligo, it's in Sligo.
But if part of it is outside of Sligo, it's not Sligo as well.
That doesn't make any sense.
I'm not. You think I always gang up on this game show? I'm going to Marty here. If some of it's in Sligo, it's in Sligo.
It's in Sligo. Yeah,
but if some of it's in Leitrim, it's not.
No, but it's still in Sligo.
Yeah,
but
no, the river still goes into Sligo.
Yeah,
so it has to be in Sligo.
But it's not Sligo as well.
No, but it is
not Sligo as well.
No, it's not, because it's still in Sligo. Yeah.
It's still it's in.
Both answers were correct.
No.
Anyways, look, that's it. We'll move on. If people would like to DM what they think on this,
I'm right.
On Duffgate.
So Marty's the champion, the River Duff.
Yes, I still have the belt, yeah.
Okay, right,
quick fire.
Right. we'll start with the champ, of course.
Of course.
Curl up and dye hairdressers.
Tricky one. Not in Sligo, I'd say.
Correct. Pens after wasting there.
Yeah.
Can't do that one. That's burst in my pocket. Have you got one there, Russell, handy for a second?
I've got a pen handy.
Scorekeeping. No, you'd be surprised. What did he answer there?
I'm asking my question when I'm walking.
What did you answer?
I answered, not in Sligo there.
And you got it right.
Yeah. Okay.
Very easy one, to be honest.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll see about that. Okay, Ross. On Cruiskeen Lawn. You know how to pronounce that one? No, don't answer.
Ah, yeah, this one is definitely easier than that one. Not in Sligo.
That's in Sligo.
It's so easy.
Yeah. I meant to fucking say it's
not having that anyway.
Right.
On Cruiskeen Lawn.
Cruiskeen Lawn, yeah. You don't ask me how to pronounce it.
Ronan, St. Anne's House B&B.
St. Anne's House B&B. Not in Sligo.
In Sligo.
Fuck it.
Google that there, lads. There's a fucking swimming pool. It's a random B&B. I came across it there. So St. Anne's House B&B. Wrong by Marty.
So how many are we doing here?
Just eight. Quick fire.
Four each.
Yeah. Ross. It's the library up in Bunanadden. Read me sideways. It's the library.
Not in Sligo.
No.
Okay, all tight.
All tight. Read me sideways. It's not. It's not the name of the library in Bunanadden.
Frisky punch them in Bunanadden. I wouldn't be surprised.
Is it there? You see,
that's outrageous.
Yeah, swimming pool. St. Anne's House B&B.
Jesus, it's
up
Ronan. Yeah, look.
Christ almighty, that's ridiculous.
When's it used?
There's a 3-day period in July today.
All our guests are staying there the night of the live show.
Yeah, we'll put ref in there.
Ronan, Froggatt's newsagents.
Froggatt's.
Froggatt's. Froggatts.
Like this is like compared to Reading Sideways. not in Sligo.
Correct.
Where is it?
Made up.
All right.
Yeah.
That could have been somewhere now.
Ross, the Field of Streams is a fish and tackle shop. Field of Streams, oh like the film God. Field of
fish
Dreams.
And tackle the shop. Fish and tackle every week.
Yeah, Field of Streams, like Field of Dreams.
Not in Sligo.
Not in Sligo, yeah. What's wrong with the fish and tackle shop? Field of Streams.
I'm going to actually Google how many there is. I'm going to see.
He's been searching fish and tackle shops.
I have not.
Field of Streams. Correct me, Ross.
Right, I think we're level here, are we?
We're level, yeah. This is the last one, I think, is it?
Ronan, Ballygill Cash.
Spell it for me.
Ballygillcash.
What the fuck? You haven't put in two L's, it'd make me think.
Ballygill Cash, well known Sligo spot.
Not in Sligo.
In Sligo. Could the title be going back to Ross? One last question.
That was so 50-50.
To win it, Ross Belra.
Sorry, what?
Belra.
Belra.
Yep.
As in Bell up the.
Belra.
Oh, fuck. I don't know the answer, so I'm going to have to guess. In Sligo.
In Sligo!
Yes! Yes! heading to the show, the champ.
3-2, Ross brings the title to the live show. It's like, this is like going to WrestleMania.
Stone Cold is
1-2, 3-2, Ronan with...
Two wrong answers
from four. Bad. Well done, Ross.
Thank you.
75% strike rate there.
Where's Ballarat?
In Sligo.
Part of it's a mill, so it's fucking...
Hey.
I thought Beltra. I was looking for a quick answer. And I said, if you might thought, did he say Beltra? But Ballarat in Sligo, very good. Okay, what are we coming back with?
We have to do. Do we have a couple of questions?
Sorry. Jesus Christ, almighty. We do. I'm going to them in a second. No, I'll get.
I have the old Twitter machine open here. So anyway, that first one from Mono was: would you prefer to have a 9-darter or a 147? Was there something else in there? No.
A hole in one.
A hole in one. Okay.
147 for me, no questions.
About I was posed this question slightly differently though.
Right.
Would you prefer to have a 147 in the Belfry, or would you prefer to have a 9-darter at the World Darts Championship?
9-darter at the World Darts Championship, obviously.
Oh, no, sorry, a 9-darter a 9-darter, or 147 at the snooker world.
All right, it's odd. The Belfry. And the crowd go wild here as Murdy hits the 147 on a Saturday evening. And
the balloon comes out.
Ferg over the moon.
Quinn's gonna win champagne. The darts 100%.
Yeah,
the crowd at the darts. Yeah, fucking bug. You'd be a hero. Like,
what was I watching last night? I was watching the darts last night, but it's obviously a smaller regional one. It's very quiet.
WDF
standards, not too good.
One or two people were shouting, and that's about it. It was.
So to go back to that question, sorry. So what do you think, Roscoe? What is the
hardest.
Not the bad, the hardest, the toughest. Yeah.
Trump got a hole in one there the other day, I seen it.
He did actually, yeah.
Donald, actually now,
it was verified, actually.
Was it verified? Yeah. For fuck's sake, I thought it was North Korea style propaganda.
No, he got one right.
The rascal.
Good for him. Toughest. It has to be 147. There's hole in one, Trump plays golf, but I could technically hit throw a club at it, the ball, and I could win. So that's gone.
Nine darter still requires an awful amount of skill, but yeah, no, the 147.
147 has, it's where every single ball affects where it lands, affects the next ball.
Yeah.
147.
How many shots do you hit? 37 shots in 147.
It's the snooker for us. What do you think? Get it in if you've any feelings on it. Stephen Hone asks, while both extremely long shots, what do you think would happen first? Sligo for Sam. I don't learn them L's on the list, do we? Sligo for Sam or Sligo for Liam?
Neither will happen in our lifetimes.
No, but he's asking what one first, even other long shots.
What do you reckon? Sligo would be a bigger price for Liam McCarthy at the moment.
And while there's a big gap,
how many more of those Kelly Lynch's are coming through? If we get a team of them, 15 of them, that might be the answer. So keep at it, O'Kelly Lynch spirits.
Fuck's sake. And Ross.
That was Murty.
Yeah, we're not changing your voice on that one, mate.
I don't know. But the only thing is, I do think there's a mass that, no, obviously there's a massive gulf between Division 4 in football and first Division 1 in football. But the gap between, at the minute, I know Sligo have made massive strides. The gap between, just say, Christy Ring to Joe McDonagh is pretty big. And then you see how the Joe McDonagh teams who go up can't get near a big hurling country. So I don't know. And then like the only thing I say with football is teams do move up. Louth is a prime example. I wouldn't say Sligo footballers being too much weaker than Louth. They're up to Division 2 now, playing against Dublin next year. I don't know. Like none of them are going to happen in your lifetime, I should say. So it's a completely hypothetical question. Ross, what do you think? You think Liam?
Yeah.
I think the longer shot of it happening will be Sligo winning Liam McCarthy.
Yeah, they're two ridiculously long shots, obviously, but Liam just a bit more.
In my lifetime, I've seen Sligo lose in a replay to the eventual All-Ireland champion. So.
Very true. And then beat and draw with the champions from the last year in the first round the next year in football. Galway, 99.
They left that one behind.
Left it behind big time and then got well, but by 10 points in Tuman the replay. So, with the. Yeah.
I
then if hurlers keep making it, it's all hypothetical.
Yeah. I'm going to say Sligo for Sam is my answer. Yeah.
Okay. And is there one more question there?
I made a response late last night.
Sorry. And I had that in the tip of my tongue, but I didn't want to.
I think that came up in a conversation somewhere else the other day, too. Yeah. No, that was the Arches down there.
The Arches was open when we were of drinking.
Yeah, yeah. Do you remember there was an internet cafe down there?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, 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 yeah. I used to go there the odd Summer Hill lunch break.
So it came in from Niall Brady. Are any of you old enough to remember the name of the pub beside McDermott's gift shop in the alleyway off O'Connor Street?
The Arches.
It could get confused with the Irish House, I'd say, is what, yeah, what happens there. But that was the Arches, yeah.
The Arches, yeah.
That was open to
who owned that?
I'd say the Arches was open from mid-2000s, maybe.
Where's on? Someone owned definitely that I know of.
Lane down there.
And I asked, was John Kent's original shop down there?
Now, that I don't know.
I thought someone would answer that.
John Kent is, I only know John Kent's being where John Kent is now.
Do you not remember when it was where Call the Wild was for a while, when they were renovating where it is now?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's true.
Oh, there you go. yeah, that's good. The Magic Road, which we discussed before, was found on YouTube yesterday. A wild-looking man put his car on it. I've never really been. I haven't been out there, the Magic Road, in a long time.
I've been there before.
Is it still,
it's still there. Yeah.
It's still got its lure.
I was just trying to find the spot. The last time I was there, I was trying to find the spot where
there used to be a sign. There used to be a sign saying stop here. Yeah.
What? There was a sign stop there.
Yeah, it was saying stop there. You lifted up your handbrake, or you put down your handbrake. Anyway, it was an optical illusion. That it is cool though. Like it does.
Alright, so it's not actually magic. Okay.
It feels like you're rolling up the hill.
Right, that's disappointing, kind of thing. No.
I don't know, there's a bit of magic.
Would there be any use for a van selling pizza slices out there, I wonder, in the Magic Road for £5 a pop? That could be the place.
It's busy enough out there.
Yeah, there you go. The shoe, the horn.
You go to the Magic Road during the day and then park up outside, flip side on at night.
Right. Ross, you have a bit of rugby. Last home game of the season was played. We'll come back with it.
Yeah, okay, why not?
Yeah, very good.
He's made 5, 6, 7 yards. The great bullock of a man, this fella.
And there is the rugby review intro. Some listeners last week might have heard that as the intro to the whole show.
Yeah, I don't know how that happens. Apologies, I guess.
Yeah. These rugby people keep trying to push rugby down our throat.
Our agenda.
Speaking of pushing things down the throat, you gave Dungan the stuff in there on Saturday and hauled them back over.
Nice segue, very good.
Good. Back to winning ways in Hamilton Park on Saturday. Ross, what's the final score?
29-14.
Sligo 29, Dungannon 14.
You were 14-0, sorry.
We were 14-0 down after 10 minutes.
I was very concerned now when I seen
I was extremely concerned myself.
talk us through it from the start for where you had that dinner with the men and the shirts.
I was invited to the president's lunch beforehand.
Luncheon.
Yeah, so it was nice to get used to this pre-dinner circuit in the later days now. But I was the only man without a blazer on the table.
Noticeable.
So. You know, I felt naked, to be honest, around these grizzled veterans that had great stories telling me about David Humphreys in the days in Dungannon. When
all in slaves. Catholic slaves. Sorry.
He kept calling me boy, all right, yeah.
Boy? Boy. Oh, you mean Boyle? No, yeah. Boy. But, sorry, go on, go to the field.
Back in the field. So yeah, 14-0 down early doors.
What happened there?
Dungannon came out firing and they had some big forwards and they just kind of physically got the upper hand early doors and they scored 2 tries. So I was a bit worried. I had to go for a walk to steady myself. The boys responded really well though. After that, they knuckled down and they just basically went back to basics, got the defense fired up. Got 3 points on the board from Ewan Brown, and that settled us. And then we just seemed to have their number in attack, and the boys started fronting up and started making tackles beyond the gain line, and momentum started to swing in our favour. And then we scored a try through Ewan Brown as well. And then early in the second half, Ryan Feely got onto a loose ball and ran in a try from inside his own half, outpacing a couple of fellas towards the line, and that just gave us a lot of belief. And Cal Goddard scored a third try then, which could be one of his last tries for Sligo. I think Cal is going home in the summer after 6 years, so been absolutely massive for us, and be a very hard man to replace on and off the pitch. One of the greats. And then we got our bonus point try through James O'Hare. Which is put the icing on the cake. It was good to get back. It kind of felt like a bit of a cloud was lifted over Hamilton Park in what was a lovely day, actually. There was no clouds in the sky. So that put us into 6th place. Dungannon were 7th. I don't think we can finish anywhere higher. We can't finish 5th, can't finish anywhere lower. Going into the next game, but it is an interesting game still for the 2B division. It was always very close. Basically, this weekend, Corinthians, who were the form team, who I would have put money on up until recently, has been the team that would probably go up. They had a loss at the weekend to Belfast Harlequins, now who have third place more or less locked down. So this weekend, BlackRock go to Corinthians. BlackRock are in second place. A win for them guarantees them a home semi-final. Okay. If Corinthians lose, and if Wanderers beat us with a bonus point, Corinthians finish outside of the top four. So that's a wild one that no one would have seen coming up until that move. But even if Corinthians beat BlackRock, and if BlackRock don't get any points, as in four tries or losing bonus point, and Wanderers get the bonus point on us, BlackRock could go from second on the last game of the season to outside of the top four. So very tight. Greystones are playing Malahide. No, they're playing a team that I don't think much in it. So they're playing Dungannon. Sorry, Greystones are playing Dungannon. So I'd imagine Greystones will get the 5 points there, and Belfast Harlequins are playing Malahide, who don't have much to play for either. So you'd imagine two of them are a banker. So that BlackRock and Corinthians game is going to be an absolute belter. So we'll see what happens there. And then, of course, Wanderers will be, we'll want to finish our season on a high, and Wanderers will be going for it. So it still should be a good match this weekend. So
I look forward to next season then.
Yeah. That's it, yeah. What's happening else in Sligo Colours? The girls won an Invitational Shield, beating Ballina. So that was nice for them in the, for their first season back, to get a bit of silverware. But interesting, one of the girls, Emma Cox, made her senior debut. So
okay,
she was the first Sligo girl to come from minis to under-13s to play all the way up to play senior.
That'll start
senior
now leaders. A lot of the next few years.
Yeah, absolutely. So like that was a real milestone for the club to have someone coming from start to the seniors. So as you said yourself, that's that conveyor belt kind of up and running now. So I think that actually for Sligo Rugby Club, the ladies and the girls has been the real success story of the season. The under 15s, 16s and 17s are all in finals and semi-finals against the premier ladies teams in those divisions. So it's been, the ladies has been a real success story for the club this year. With the juniors, we lost to Ballinasloe.
Yeah, you're on the pitch yourself since last time.
I was on the pitch myself, 70 minutes of tight head. Not enjoyable in the sun-kissed day. I was scalded and very dehydrated. I got there and I really just, I kind of, I think playing tight head, I shouldn't be playing tight head at this size and age, and got onto the pitch and I looked over to see, I go, I wonder who the fella is I'll be propping against, like, and then who comes out, this fella looking like Eddie Hall, like, absolutely, like tattoos on the legs, big goatee, big head of hair, and just a ginormous block of a fella. I was like, oh yeah, that's 100% the fella I'm going to be propping against. And it was. Nice guy. but they finished our season off now, so it's a bit of a rebuilding period for the juniors over the summer and for next year. So last thing to touch on is Ealing, who Stephen Cairns is playing for at the moment.
Oh, I've seen the one.
Yeah, they bet Richmond 60 points to 10.
Rich, so they, what?
What?
Sorry. Rich what?
Richmond.
Yeah. From Coach Carter, no.
No, right.
I don't get it. Sorry.
I thought it was some sort of a
Do you not know the film Coach Carter?
I do.
Yeah, I just don't remember.
There you go. Rich what? Richmond. Sorry, that joke went over.
No, you redeemed it. We remember it, though. So they won the English Championship, but I don't think, unfortunately, they can't be promoted into the...
Well, because their grounds aren't... It's a closed thing, is it?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, but it's a bit of... It's a joke, though, like...
But someone who... Just say...
They don't want to add any more teams to the league because it cuts into their slice of the pie.
But Saracens go up last year because they're sufficient. Yeah. They're a good name. They're part of... Yeah, they're a member, like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they were, like,
No, I know that. But, sorry, they're probably a bad example. London Scottish are in that thing. They were up, or was it London Welsh? They were up years ago, that.
No, but they're saying it's become tighter since then. The clubs have all had to vote, but they said
they voted not to let anyone
up in,
really.
To let them in because everyone's share of the TV revenue.
Don't want to risk getting relegated.
Yeah, but it's not even the relegation because they're ring fenced to stay in there. They're not bringing relegation in there.
Shite.
So it's basically like this: the league have said that they can definitely take in two more teams.
Right.
But
Ealing,
it would mean that it was Doncaster finished second, but they're saying that basically they're not bringing them in because the clubs voted. So. Sad to say, it's very hard. What would you be going for?
What's the point in fucking winning it? Like,
what's the point? So that's a bit of a joke. Like, so,
Rugby Union of England.
So Stephen would have played a few games through, but he's also unknown quite a bit to London Scottish and played quite a bit for them as well. So, hopefully they are appealing it now. So there might be some hope there. So that's it from the rugby review this week.
Very good, Ross. Back with junior soccer and Rovers round up with Ronan.
He's made 5, 6, 7 yards. A great bullock of a man, this fella.
Okay, football time with Murty. We'll start with the Rovers. Very disappointing Friday night. They haven't played. Sorry, first of all, they haven't played since.
Yeah, the last time
since we were on. Yeah. But yeah,
very disappointing. All right. Thought we were heading into three winnable games. I think people were talking about having 9 points out of nine, and when you don't win the first one, it puts an awful lot of pressure on the other two. It just didn't seem. There was no spark to them. Now, Shelburne weren't great, but they came with a plan to frustrate us, and it definitely worked. Look, it was a stupid penalty that was given away. I thought it was a penalty at the time. The pitch was terrible. You couldn't trust the ball to do. You couldn't make a 5 yard pass on the ground and trust that the ball wouldn't bobble before.
Yeah.
Now hopefully this rain will have helped it actually, because it's the sand, but it was like, for the way Rovers want to play football. In saying that, in the last 10-15 minutes, there was a couple of great chances created.
There was, wasn't there? Yeah.
Clark made one really good save. Haven't actually watched back highlights since being there, but a couple of great chances created. Look, it's just disappointing. But I suppose they've quick time to bounce back now. They have Bowes at home tomorrow and UCD at home on Saturday. So all of a sudden, you know, there's a bit of pressure. Not pressure on, but if you want to keep pace at the top of the league, Derry keeps scoring late goals. So, you'll be looking for 6 points out of six now in these next two games. So just disappointed. They just didn't play well. Keane went off injured. It was probably one of the worst nights you could have. The last, Keane went off injured.
Conceding the penalty as well. Like, I think we were guilty of saying, and I know people said at the start of the season, that these Shelburne games should be nearly 12 points.
We're
overly optimistic. There's three gone already at home.
There was nothing really in it. It was probably a draw would have been a fair result. It was one of them games where I thought neither side deserved to win, but look, Shelburne got their goal. Like, in fairness to Duffy, obviously had a plan to come in and sit in. They didn't really allow us to, but that and the pitch probably didn't allow us the way we wanted to play, but we just never really looked at it. Even we did go for it in the last 10 minutes, but just never. Felt like we were missing a spark on Saturday night.
They have actually 8 points.
Yeah.
As shy as people have said they were, like, and bad results have had, they've 8 points on the board. Like.
Yeah, and you see, this is the problem. Look, Rovers started, it was 3 wins and 3 draws against the top teams, but, you know, to make it a really good start, you have to beat the bottom teams, you know. So, like, say now you draw tomorrow night, and like, then there's definite pressure on the UCD game. But look, hopefully, I'd still be hopeful we can pick up. Bows aren't going great to concede.
The pitch was the top of conversation between all the punters the other night, wasn't it?
It is, yeah, yeah. It's stuck. It's just, it's hard to get away from, you know. I don't know. It's hard to know what's happening. It's just hard to get away from it. It is so bad. Like, you wouldn't expect junior footballers to be able to, you know,
it's crazy when you think of it.
Yeah. Like. I don't know what's been wrong. I don't want to get into it, but
no.
Like, it's just really hard to get away from him, especially with the way, you know, Liam Buckley wants to play football. But in saying that, it was the same for both teams.
Yeah.
And just disappointing, but hopefully he can bounce back tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night, Bowes. What do you reckon? They're not.
Bowes
on the hottest streak themselves in a minute.
They've had a poor start. They conceded late to Derry there at the weekend. They've definitely, by their standards, they've had a poor start. So, but they're always, you know, with. Like, I obviously haven't seen them play this year, but they're always going to be decent enough. Keep long and have them set up. But I would be hopeful. I'd be hopeful now. Just they're probably the right team to play. Demi UCD are probably the two right teams to play now. When you're looking for 6 points, like we are, you know.
Yeah. So hopefully get back to win. Anyways, I seen some people writing straight after the game. That's the league over now. I don't think the league was ever thought of. No, sorry, not.
No,
I hope at the start of the season, I can't imagine anyone thought Rovers would be winning the league. Like.
There was that. I seen someone in one of our WhatsApp groups backed them to finish bottom. about 3 weeks beforehand. I can't remember who that was, but it came up with the weekend as well. But look, we might have got ahead of ourselves. Pretty similar to last year, might have got ahead of ourselves. But
yeah.
One bad defeat. It's, you know,
just piteous at home, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is piteous at home. Yeah. And there was good crowd there for Friday night as well. Yeah. There was
the break is coming. That the break side that came wasn't. Look, breaks can be good for you if you're on a bad run, or if you're on. It can be.
We probably didn't need it. Now, obviously, the injury to Keane is a big worry.
Any news on that?
How bad is it, Joe?
Didn't hear. Actually, haven't heard anything about it. So I'd say Buckley will probably do some sort of presser tonight, I would imagine. So. Yeah. So I haven't heard, but it's worrying when a fellow goes off. It was a non-contact injury and he had to go off.
Yeah,
so
that's true enough.
That's always a worry. So hopefully he's not out for too long.
Hopefully.
He got player of the month, actually. I put him scored 5 goals in that month, yeah. So.
Very good.
Yeah, deserved. He's on fire. Service to him wasn't great when he was on the pitch the other night.
I assume he's definitely out for tomorrow night.
Probably. You'd have to assume so, yeah.
The women were off hard luck and then had some good fortune too.
Yeah, a funny sort of day, actually, because they got, I think, the 3-0 result. So their match against P-Mount, P-Mount fielded an ineligible player. So
that P-Mount cheaters.
That 6-0 defeat was turned into a 3-0 win. So that was, I think that was a ninth Saturday morning on the day of the game.
I think so, yeah.
And then they put in a great performance away to last year's champion.
So unlucky.
And you know, it was only like a long ball in the box in the end that caught them. They played so well, and actually they had a chance.
A
couple of minutes before that to win the game. But look, I suppose
green shoots, very promising start.
Yeah, Fitzo ended up managing the team the other day. Yeah. He was saying to me, I suppose when you come out of going away to last year's champions, disappointed with a 1-0 defeat, and feeling that you should have got something from the game, it's a sign of good progress, I think, for them. So
something's going right.
Something is, yeah. So they were very unlucky. They were very unlucky, but hopefully they'll bounce back this weekend.
Yeah, that should be giving the confidence to go on from there. Good performance against, you said, the champions from last year. Let's switch to junior soccer. It should be the business end. It's very much a wind-down end of the season. A lot of fixtures didn't go ahead this week. But
yeah,
we're going to go back to last week. Since we're last on, we've done Carberry have been crown champions. So five in a row done,
yeah. Fair play to them. They won. You predicted 1-0 Tubber that day, and for half an hour it was coming
is
through.
Is that a counter?
Taro got one early, did he?
I don't know who got it. Was it Raf?
I think it was Raf, yeah. He scored a hat-trick again yesterday. 22 goals he's up to.
6-1, yeah, so they're champions again.
Look, they deserved it.
Shout out to Ross McLaughlin, he's a big fan of the pod, I believe.
Yeah, you were chatting to him there a couple of weeks ago, I think. Yeah. They did. I think...
The way to bounce back after that Strand defeat...
Yeah, they've been on a serious run then. Even they went up to
Oliver. Turbo mode and just score goals.
Score goals all over. I just see here they've got to 100 goals, which is
wow.
Very impressive.
How many games? 22.
22 games.
And 100 goals.
And they didn't get to play the last one.
So, 21 games. 97 goals. So.
97 goals. And they only conceded 16, which, geez, that's actually incredible, isn't it? Their goal difference is plus 84.
Fuck's sake.
That's right. Goal difference is only plus 27.
So that same day... we were on live commentary duty from McSherry Park for the Strand Celtic Athenry Junior Cup game.
Yeah. Strand put up a good account.
Very good account. 2-0 in the end, Athenry.
Athenry have won since, did I say earlier?
Did they, yeah?
Yeah.
I stopped personally hating them after that game. Four. Okay.
I've seen the Strand congratulating them for progressing.
Was that not Salt Hill Devon to the Junior Cup?
Two Connacht teams make the last four.
I read it as that and right first of all as well, I think, yeah. Yeah, very good account.
Yeah, it's a good game.
Deserved a goal, definitely, Strand. 100%.
Definitely,
Leo Doherty's very close to two flick-on headers.
Yeah,
one second header and one header then that went wide.
They seem to have put an awful lot... Like, I think they tired in the last 20 minutes.
Possibly, yeah.
That was the only real spell word, though, where I thought... Athenry and Rye were a better team than them. They're always in the game for that. They could have went ahead. The keeper made one great save.
Well, one he didn't know about. Dylan Martin had a shot off his face.
That's right.
That was 1-0.
Yeah. Leo hit the crossbar.
Hit the post and then he missed. It was a post crossbar, the flick on header.
Yeah, the flick on header.
But look, it was a good performance. Like Athenry, not that Strand's bench, but dulled anything down. But they brought on, I think, five solid guys.
Good players, yeah.
Gary Shannon went off.
It was good getting us. Like, it was good. It just shows you, I suppose. Like, you know, give hope for other teams. Like,
definitely,
going
the standard's not too far away.
No, not too far away. I think, like, Carby, I think they lost in the Connacht Cup to Ballina, I think it was, earlier in the season.
The goals weren't there, the shocker that day.
Yeah, they were missing, and they were missing a good few that day. So, you know, it just shows you, like, you know, I think it'll give everybody else a bit of heart, because Athenry won't be far away from winning that.
And you had Dan Cunningham at left back as your man in the match.
Dan, yeah. Yeah, he was Dan. Whipped in some great balls there. Greg's twin brother, we found out during the game.
Greg was tuning into our live stream.
He put it out to his Instagram, right?
So, very good. So it was a good day. So look, what happened at the weekend?
So the Super League concluded, except for one game. Strand have to play...
Manor next week.
Strand have to play Manor next week. So I'll just run through the results. MCR are in the battle for third with Strand. They beat Ballyslare 7-4 on Friday night. Some mad results going around the place recently, isn't there?
There is, yeah.
Then there was a couple of walkovers. Carby were due to receive their medals on Saturday night, but... Merville couldn't field today, got a 3-0 in that. Manor got a walkover against Ballymote. Strand got a walkover against Cliffany. Then there's probably the two big games in. So we drew 2-2 with our Harps, two late goals to ensure that we finished second.
Okay.
Not our best performance. We were down a good few players, but showed a bit of character to actually score the two goals to finish 2-2. So Anna and Tubber were playing each other. Tubber won. So it all had complications for relegation, basically, for the third place playoff. Tubber won 4-1. Guaranteeing their safety. As I said, Raf got a first half hat-trick. So I had a fella from Anna texted me because as our Harps were winning,
They were down probably, were they?
Oh, now we're in the third that relegation playoff place. We scored two late goals to guarantee our second and unfortunately sent our Harps to the playoff.
Oh.
So I actually felt sorry for them last night. I know, obviously, some team has to end up in it, but you know, they put a lot into that game yesterday and they just got last 20 minutes to defend it resolutely, but they just got tired, I think.
So that's often a seen in their status as the longest serving Premier Super League team.
They're there since 2004, I think, is the stat. So, yeah, I just finally run through the table. So, Carby champions, 56 points. Carter United's runners up on 50 points. MCR in third currently on 47 points with Strand on 46 points. But Strand play Manor, who are fifth in the last game of the season. That's on Friday night. Then Ballaterra finished sixth, Tubber seventh, Cliffney eighth, Anna in ninth, and then Arrow Harps go to the playoffs in tenth. Ballymote and Merville are relegated in 11th and 12th. So that is the Super League done. Pretty much except for that game to decide third place on Friday. And so then in the Premier Division, Corrie had a 4-0 win away to Enniscrown, so that keeps them on top of the table. St John's beat Carrick 8-0, and Killarney beat Glenview 4-0. So as it stands at the minute, Corrie are top. There's one game left for the top three. Corrie are top on 44 points, a point ahead of St John's on 43, with Killarney 3 points further back on 41. So basically, Corrie and John's play each other this week. Point in it, so it's the that's for the title, basically.
That's for the title.
For the title.
Both are up, though, are they?
No,
sorry,
so John's
I just was reading something there and I got distracted.
Corrie confirmed their promotion because unless there's a 13 goal turnaround.
Yeah, sorry, Killarney or something about that.
Yeah, but if Corrie to beat St John's and Killarney win their game, they'll go up in second.
Okay, and John's in the playoff.
Yeah, and that'll be John's in the playoff. So if Corrie is short of promotion, realistically, it looks like John's will need to beat them to win the league. A draw, they have a 9-goal better difference than Killarney. So Killarney's game is until Friday week, so they'll actually know what's happened at that point. But a win for St John's would see them crowned Premier League champions, and Corrie just need a draw to guarantee that.
Very good. That'll be a cracker.
Cracker.
Yeah, Gary Golden said he's going with a big bag of cans and he can't wait for it.
BBC.
So. Yeah, that's that's. Do you want to do BBC. a quick prediction?
Mind you, I said a BBC, a big bag of cans.
There's a few games here to run through. So Friday night.
I got distracted there by reading an email. Where's that game at what time? Sorry.
It's scheduled for 3 o'clock on Sunday in Corrie.
Right, that's a big one.
That's a big game, yeah. It's got the old three officials as well. It's that big game.
Are you going to that?
Oh, I'll definitely be going to that.
Yeah.
That's going to decide who wins that league, yeah.
Very good, very good. Yeah, that'll be good.
It's straight shooter. Great to see. Right, we'll run through the fixtures. So, final Super League game.
Can I just bring it back again? There was a shared game, I believe, at the weekend.
There was a couple of nil-all draws around the place, all right,
an agreed draw, was there?
A few agreed draws, yeah.
With Valley Rovers and Chapu?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's going on there?
So basically, any teams that don't want to play their games, that doesn't affect the league positions. There's nil-alls, there's a few already down for this weekend too. Valley Rovers, Drumahair.
Not a fan of that, a fan of that at all.
Yeah, I suppose, look, at this stage, some clubs might be struggling with the Gaelic on, but...
Your season.
No, you'd like to play, I'd like to play. Obviously, some clubs are struggling this time of year, but I would like, if it was us, I would hope that we would play out again. The fixtures. Friday night, last game in the Super League. Strand need to win to finish third against Manor, who are currently lying in fifth.
It's believed to be a nil-all draw agreed on Thursday. That's not my prediction. I think Strand, Crest away, 4-0.
4-0.
That's the last Super League prediction of the year.
Done. That's it, done. So Sunday, at the minute, Chaffield are home to Glenview. 11 o'clock Sunday.
2-0 to Glenview. They'll travel well at the Bun Nadden.
Carrick at home to Ballygawley.
2-2.
And then that's it. What's your prediction for the big Premier League shootout between Corrie Bowles?
I'm going to say a very tense 1-1 draw. Corrie to take an early lead, early-ish. John's to pile the pressure, equalise, but just knock at the winner, and Corrie to be crowned Premier League champions for 21-22 season.
And that's that. That's pretty much. We have the cups to come. They don't start till the 22nd of April, but that will be it for the leagues next Sunday.
I think we've got
Killarney playing again.
Oh shit! They're actually playing the following Friday at home to Ben Bulbin.
Yeah, that was predicted very well last time round. And Ben Bulbin are just coming through on just at the right time now, so I think they'll topple Killarney 1-0.
1-0, yeah. So that'll be they will round off the fixtures. We'll have the cups and that relegation playoff to come off. If your predictions go like that, it would be Arrow Harps and Killarney in the battle to get promoted. But okay, we'll discuss that at the live show, surely.
Yeah, so that was a very good season of junior soccer.
Yeah, I think we've covered it well. Yep. People are very thankful of our coverage of the junior soccer.
Yeah, sometimes, I was going to say abuseful, but...
Got a lot of abusive DMs at the junior soccer.
So thanks for that, Marty. We'll come back with just a look at the All-Stars final.
Yeah.
And just a wrap-up of a few other sporting events that happened around Sligo in the last 2 weeks.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
So first to the Sligo All-Stars. They were in there in Show My Van Daddy Division 1 final in the National Basketball Arena on Saturday. But we're going to rewind to last Saturday, because we haven't been on since we took in the semi-final against Carlo IT in the Mercy Gym.
Great night out.
One of the best sporting events I've been at in Sligo in 10 years, I'd say, since Rovers won the league, I'd say. Best live one I've been at.
Yeah, it was class, actually. It was really, really, the atmosphere in there was brilliant.
Yeah, it was excellent.
We got to celebrate the old promotion party as well.
Yeah, we did. We were on the court celebrating after. We had a very warm welcome and well received
by everyone there, yeah. So we were...
Random celebrities.
Yeah. Random celebrities at the basketball. But I'm definitely going next year. It was brilliant.
I really enjoyed it.
The standard's really, really good as well.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
They wiped the floor with Carlo.
They did, yeah. They don't answer.
Honest. remember the Carlo book? I said, great game out there. Yeah. Oh, thanks.
But what about the chanting section?
Boisterous.
Boisterous, yeah.
Mostly.
And the Carlo lads had to... Chanting themselves,
Ross.
I want to see it.
So the Carlo boys, the Rovers, the All-Stars had a big chanting section, the young ones, well led on. With drums and all, so defense and offense. And then the Carlo bench, like the grown men, were just chanting themselves and their team would go. So
they were going for the old defense.
Six lads.
We found that fair. Yeah, but no, it was a really, really good night. And you know, everybody on there at the end taking pictures.
You were in charge of the Twitter that night, Ronan.
I was.
You seen one of your heroes, Aidan O'Shea.
He was introduced to us as well.
He got to shake hands with the great man.
He seems like he's a fan of the podcast. He
told us, anyways. Complete lie, clearly.
Sean O'Mara said, it's the two lads from the Sligo Way podcast. You know the podcast. I do. Get these two middle-aged men away from me, I'd say.
You're doing your
show. You returned the tip of the cap by slagging them. Yeah.
We did a little, yeah. Well, no, I'd say he was looking for the medal. I mean, we didn't say anything wrong. But I know, great night. I'd highly recommend that.
And wiped the floor with Carlo IT too.
Oh, they were brilliant. They were sensational. Excellent. Yeah, yeah.
Liza Lally was gliding around the court.
Yeah, yeah.
They were excellent, yeah. So, to give a few the under-20s a run out then towards the end, a few young boys would obviously come up through the thing, like the likes of Ryan Young and that, and they were in the plate final before the big one on Saturday. We were watched the second half.
Yeah.
Just couldn't really bridge it back past
every
5 points.
Back, yeah, you know, every time they get back to winning a point, they just couldn't push on and take the lead.
Yeah, so the main event then was the final, the Demons, who were top of the Southern Conference, actually.
A very early match.
Yeah, it was the whole weekend, though, it was going on. The UCC Demons, two teams were already promoted. I only found this out last Saturday when we got to the game.
Yeah.
That the two, I didn't know, I thought the winner of this only went up, that carrot was gone, it was taken care of, so you can enjoy it and try and win it. Finished 88-81, Ronan. It was a good game. The Ulsters, they went at it early. The dunk from Kate Jordan Jr., I must say, it was lovely. Went to an early lead, but the Demons came back, and it was 21-14 at the end of that first quarter. I know you were very impressed with former All-Star Toby Christensen.
Yeah, look, I mean, Toby, he was a thorn in the side all day long, wasn't he, really? He was very impressive.
He just kept it at arm's length. An ex-All-Star, as I said, playing with the Demons. But the swings and roundabouts, we always talk about basketball. The All-Stars come back really well in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And I think it went down to 2 points, even 3. And... Demons again pulled away, but Slough come back again. It's a crazy sport. And there was only four in it with about 35 seconds on the clock or something. But
yeah, yeah.
Unfortunately, Demons got there with...
It's such a swingy sport though, isn't it?
Like, it is, yeah.
Even that night, we went in, they were 5-0 down.
Yes.
It was 21-5.
The other Bucks
by the time we stopped talking to Rosie, I think.
Yeah, before we got in the gate or the past to the ticket section. But anyway, sorry. Yeah, I was just going through the scores there. 88-81 was the final score. But look, The job is done. That's what I mean to say. It's finished on a high, even if it is a bit of a low on that one, if that makes any sense to anyone. So 8-81, but the All-Stars do have Super League basketball next year.
In the Mershari Arena.
Well, if he has a built, we'll be building time.
We'll get working on that on the night.
Feel the dreams. Show. Feel the streams, even. just the final score in the play-out final as well was Temple Ogue 82, the All-Stars 67. Do you have the scores there from the weekend run? I think you do there in front of you, no?
I don't have them in front of me, Adrian.
Oh, sorry. I thought you did. I'm embarrassed. We might get them up tweeted up later on. Highlight of the day for me was the early dunk from Keith Jordan. That's actually on the Basketball Ireland Twitter
page. I've seen it, yeah. It's very good, yeah.
They're so smooth.
Yeah.
He's excellent. But look, I don't know what the boys will be around next year. It's tough to know with college stuff, but hopefully... Well, now it's Sligo being in a university town.
University town, yeah.
Might get a few more. So that was how it finished up. The All-Star season finished up. So 88-81 defeat in the Division 1 final, but Super League basketball next year. And thanks to the boys for interacting with us and coming on. Shane O'Mara, Coach Shane O'Mara coming on during the year. And must push their 300 club as well, lads.
Yeah.
Get involved, a few spare pound in the pocket, great prizes there.
And the warm reception we received.
And the very warm reception, really. Warmed our hearts.
Yeah, it did.
Very good in the Mercy gym. Haven't had that kind of warm reception in the Mercy since I was 16 years of age. Delete that, sorry.
Yeah, I will, sure. It's deleted there.
Do.
I'm going back to where the beach is near. The beer is dear. There's plenty of women out of the crowd. Walking around the final second.
The whistle is gone. And Sligo Rovers at your back.
By the river side, it can match the tide.
Well, I'm being told that Average Joe's does not have enough players and will be forfeiting the championship match.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for us.
Gary tried to and drive it clean out over the fence. Out in the field of corn.
In the bookie shop, I don't need a...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.